opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Into the 20, and lands on the loose, and they won't catch him.
No.
You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from my basement. Bloggers in the basement. Bloggers in the basement. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumbs Revenge, and I'm with
Mark Blakenbaker at U of L Sheriff 50.
And we are ready to bring you this week's edition of the Crunch Zone podcast. We've got our huge, huge, long-standing rival game in Virginia. We've got great recruits to talk about. There's some program updates. It's the Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Team of the week.
Mark, it's rivalry week.
It's rivalry week.
Can you feel it in the air?
I can feel it in the air. It's better air than Roger Goodell's air right now.
Yeah, Roger Goodell's having a bad life right now. So let's talk about this. You're going to the Virginia game.
I'll be in attendance. We're going to leave Friday afternoon.
Okay.
Immediately before the downtown rush gets yep. out of there, so around 4 o'clock. And it's only about a seven-hour drive
yeah.
to Charlottesville, and tickets are aplenty. So if you're thinking about a last-minute weekend fallish trip,
yeah.
you'll see the Shenandoah Valley and go check out
Shenandoah Valley.
Go check out a Cards
that's
game.
That's
man.
In the West Virginia
great.
Song.
Well,
they got to make that exclusive.
Apparently, it's beautiful. Thomas Jefferson
yep.
did this campus. There's wine country.
I did this.
I had no idea.
I did this campus. He walked around yeah, like a baller.
Oh, there he goes. He just pointed.
He just
things
did
were
that. All right. Well, you're bringing the camera, so you're hoping to get some good footage. If we win, I'll be making a highlight. You're going to try to Dropbox me some stuff.
Absolutely.
You'll be trying to catch whatever cool stadium, mascot, funny fans, whatever you can find. I know you'll be in the press box, though, also taking in the game because your analysis is second to none.
Oh, thank you. And I'll have a helper. Yeah. So Andrew Stossberg will be going down with
awesome.
Us. And,
awesome.
And so he might operate the camera while we're also doing analysis from the press box. But, yeah, we're going to be multi-talented. I'm really excited for this first
I don't know about
if
game. You're talented at all. How about multitasking?
Multitasking. I think that's what I wanted to say.
We'll be multitasking. Getting a little braggadocious for our listeners here.
We'll be multitasking, not multi-talented. We'll have players who are multi-talented.
We will both admit we're schleps like the rest of us.
We just get lucky.
We get lucky
quite
on
a lot.
Occasion.
Yeah. But no, I'm excited. First ACC road game.
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful campus. Our rival in a
yeah.
cross in the coastal division.
Huge game. I'm still angry about our last loss.
Are you remember the game in 89 with Jay Gruden and Howard Schnellenberger and the
was
last
it, I think it was his first year.
It was his first year.
I mean, I remember like it was yesterday.
Like it was just in Louisville. What happened
in the
game?
Final seconds, finish it off.
They got beat by a last second field goal.
The
didn't they?
Sons of bitches. And Cavaliers. I don't trust any of them.
Time to pay them back.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's 25-year reunion or
it's revenge
35.
Game. This would be the 25th
yeah,
reunion here.
It is.
Of the big
21st
beat.
Anniversary of those rivals.
And, you know, Virginia actually broke a record in their last game against Richmond that stood for 25 years. You know what it was?
What?
Lowest attended game since 1989.
That is awesome.
So
for Louisville fans who want to make the trip.
Exactly, because there's going to be a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
You can probably still buy them through the UVA box office. You can't buy them through the U of L box office anymore.
You might even be able to just walk in, because with that free attendance, they may not have ticket takers.
They may not even care. Just show up, people.
Now, I do know, just because I did an ACC attendance thing, I haven't kicked post out just because I've been too busy at work, and I'm sorry.
Because you're lazy.
But they were in the bottom five of attendance, but that number, don't be confused, that number's still pretty good. It was like 47,000 puts them in the bottom five attendance ACC, and we're like, Louisville had a record-breaking year, but we're only like sixth or seventh highest in the ACC, but very closely, narrow margins, like by 100,000
yeah.
by one.
And if you take percent of capacity,
yeah.
it's a little bit different. Virginia's I think their stadium holds like 67,000 people.
Yeah.
So for them to be in the 40s and the 30s is a big, you know, empty deal. And it's a very it's in a small town, but the surrounding area is highly populated. Virginia's a populated state, and it's not that far from Washington, D.C., and all this other stuff. Yeah. So, but it is a very beautiful campus, and I can't wait to see this game.
I wouldn't mind if there was some fall change in the leaves. That would be the only thing that make the drive there and the time there better. But fall football, first road game, so it is a – whether you like it or not, whether you really believe their arrival or not, it's a historic game. It is our first ACC road game. No two ways around it. We want to win it. We want our first ACC conference game. So these are all first-time notches in the belt of the ACC belt. As fans, we get to enjoy and see what we can get. Now, enough about that. Let's talk about them as a team, because a lot has changed since 1989.
A lot has changed since 1989, and the thing that's going to take that you're going to first take notice of with Virginia is their defense. They play a 3-3-5 defense. It might call it a 4-3 every now and then.
Is that what West Virginia ran?
Yes, and it's what Charlie Strong ran almost the entire second half of last year.
Okay,
was mainly a 3-3-5. So really, this should be a familiar defense. Virginia is extremely talented. They have, I think, 3 5-star recruits that are playing on their defense. And they're very good defensively. They have 9 turnovers gained on the year so far, including, I think it was 6 against Richmond last week. But on the other side of the coin, their offense is not very good at all. They have really, really struggled moving the football. Of the 100th best offense in the nation, and that's after playing the Richmond Spiders last week, who they won, and it was their first win since beating BYU in their opener last year. So it's been quite a while since they had won a football game. It's been even longer since they've won 2 in a row.
Is Taquan Mizzle there?
I
5-star running back from 2013. He was a commit. I don't know if he's still there. I was just looking when you mentioned some of the talent that they have
on offense. Taquan Mizzle has got 17 carries.
Okay,
the talent.
Mizzle my nizzle.
Mizzle, yes, I guess. Okay. I guess you could definitely do that rhyme. Mizzle is like probably their third back.
Okay,
but most of their talent's on their defensive side of the ball. They have the number one defensive tackle in the nation who's backing up their current D tackle, and I'm trying to think of his name, but number 55. I know about their numbers, but right now.
Well, I'm just looking through their commits. So just of this one class, 2013, they got 2 4-star
David
DBs.
Dean is the defensive tackle that's backed up.
And everything I heard about Virginia is they have lots of talent. I mean, they got a 5-star defensive back, Quinn Blanding.
Yes.
5-star defensive tackle, Andrew Brown.
Brown's the number one defensive tackle in the nation.
And then you got 4 stars offensive line, wide receiver. I mean, they've had better recruiting classes in Louisville the last 3 years.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's about organization and coaching, it sounds like, for them.
And Anthony Harris is their starting strong safety, and he's up for every single major award ever. He was a Sports Illustrated All-American last year at the safety position. He's the real deal. They have really great linebackers, and Henry Coley, Daquan Romero, and Max Valles there are very, very good. They get great pressure, and they're very good run defense. But they are the advantage here is in the passing game. Louisville should be able to throw the ball on Virginia if they can stop their pressure and get the ball out quickly. Yeah. Virginia brings so much pressure, it's almost to their detriment.
Is this a game where, I know there's not a quarterback controversy, but is this a game where we might see Reggie a little bit just because he moves? I mean, I know Will Gardner runs a 4-5 straight, but I think that Reggie has that more instinctive time to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's two reasons for that. First, you saw in the Miami game where Will Gardner had 2 fumbles.
Yep.
When Virginia's going to hit Will, and they're going to hit the quarterback. No matter who's in there, the quarterback's going to take some blows in this game. It's just inevitable. The other side of that is that one of the great ways to combat Virginia's pressure is with zone read, which requires a running quarterback, which we know that Will is fast, but I think we saw in the Murray State game that Reggie Bonifin is much, much faster. So I expect that if Louisville's offense struggles early, they may try to do a little Reggie Bonifin thing and move the defense around and try to get them on their heels a little bit Because if they're just trying to pass the ball mm-hmm. with Will Gardner, that plays right into Virginia's hands. They're going to run a lot of misdirection. I would expect a lot of screens, mm-hmm. passes to the tight ends, a lot of things to keep the front six of Virginia occupied and out of the Louisville backfield. And then once they get Virginia kind of off balance, I expect some play action, and I expect some really big deep balls to, you know, really try to exploit it later in the game, but not early on.
He said big deep balls.
Big deep
balls. All right.
Balls.
So with this, what is your prediction?
You know, I haven't made my prediction yet, but I think I'll go ahead and just
make it.
Put it out there. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think Louisville wins 24-13 in this one.
Okay.
I don't
see
Louisville.
That beats the spread. I think it's at 7.
Yeah, I think it's actually gone further down from that now.
Okay.
But I'm looking for a low-scoring game. I think ball control is at a premium here. And even though Virginia's excellent against the run, Michael Dyer is back for this game.
Is he?
He should be back for this game.
I've been so in work eyeballs that I don't even know Michael Dyer. I was surprised that they announced him as a starter last week at the Murray State game. It was so weird.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
on the video screen?
We saw him walking around without pads on. And
yeah.
Like, why are they even doing that? Messing with Murray State. They're scaring
him. Probably because they expected him to start. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, yeah. I mean, I expect him. It's not officially announced. He's not in pads yet on the field. And at that point, it will be official that Michael Dyer is back. But right now, my full expectation, I think he could have played in the Murray State game if they needed him. But I think that the whole idea was that we're going to blow Murray State out. Why risk them? So this is a road conference game, second one in 3 weeks. It's extremely important that Louisville wins this football game.
Okay, I don't know how accurate this is, but we got Bet Online, Five Dimes, Sports Betting, Bovada, Fantasy911.com. And if it has gone down, it hasn't gone down much, or it came back up, they're listing it as 6.5 to 7, so I don't know. And I don't know when this was posted. I mean, I'm assuming it's current. But.
Yeah, I mean, it's in there. I mean,
now Virginia played against they were top 10 at the time, UCLA, got in a hole early, made that a ball game on the road. So I'm assuming if you can play a top 10, I don't know if UCLA's top 10, those preseason rankings, but on paper they were top 10. They do have some talent at UCLA, and it was on the road. If they can make a game out of that, with a team, you know, who's loosely respected so far this season, then, yeah, I imagine this is going to be a football game.
They should have beat UCLA. I mean, the offense gave up 3 defensive touchdowns to the Bruins.
Yeah, and they only scored one, right?
That cannot happen.
Wasn't it like 28-25
yeah,
or
UCLA
something like that?
UCLA only scored one offensive touchdown.
That is a damn shame if you're
terrible.
A Virginia fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. And, you know, Virginia uses a 2-quarterback system. But they don't really change their offense. That's the weird thing about them. They use 2 quarterbacks, but they don't change anything when they're in there. Now, they may have some wrinkles for the Louisville games, conference game, or whatever.
So it's the same look. It's just
different player.
Fresh, I guess.
I don't really understand it.
They're going to be real disappointed to find out we have 9 quarterbacks, you know, on our roster because Bobby Petrino can't stop taking. We have a 9 quarterback
system.
Can
you rotate 9?
Yeah, we're going to have 3 wideouts that are all quarterbacks.
But
with quarterback
Matt Johns, who's their backup, the guy, their
Johns?
Second, Matt Johns.
Okay.
He's a former high school rival of Will Gardner's. They went to opposing rival high schools in Georgia. So it's going to be interesting to see that. He has not played as well as Grayson Lambert, but Lambert has thrown 2 interceptions. And Johns has a little bit, you know, he's throwing more deep balls. You like the deep balls.
Big deep balls.
He's throwing more deep balls, but at a lower percentage. So Grayson Lambert is more of your game manager, but not really going to threaten your defense too much, whereas Matt Johns, more likely to go deep. And that's probably the biggest difference between the two and why they're rotating them right now.
Okay, so game's at 12:30 Saturday. It's on local?
Yeah, it's going to be on Wave 3 television.
Does that mean if I have DirecTV, I don't get it?
No,
it's going to be like penalized.
They've
like
worked
the pro
that
game?
Out. They've worked that out. And, you know, it's one of those, it's the ACC network.
Okay.
It's on 120 markets,
okay,
which they're very proud of,
yeah,
which we should be too. And the ACC's been playing great football.
Yes.
You know, last week could have gone
big win.
Could have gone terribly for the ACC.
Yeah, are you talking about the North Carolina game?
Kind of
San
like
Diego.
Well, yeah, but yeah, because they pulled that out. Yep. Virginia Tech could have lost to Ohio State.
Hey, but that's a big win.
Yeah,
that was something
huge
to celebrate. I know Ohio State's down a quarterback.
It's weird rooting for Virginia Tech, really.
But you get, yeah, especially after the knee stomp.
Yeah, the knee it's stomp like, it.
But I'm gonna cheer for them.
Yeah, because Ohio State.
Yeah, Beamer's pulling the Goodell where he's like, "Well, I'm gonna have to see the tape."
Yeah, I don't need to see the tape.
I didn't see it. So
how could you not see it? You just grinded his cleat right into dude's ACL.
Yeah, Doomerville was not happy. But yeah, that was a huge win. I was at a bar with my brother-in-law because we went to the game, and it was like 50-0. He hadn't had dinner. He's like, come on, man, I'm hungry, so I got to respect that a little
bit.
So you left early. We left early, and we went to but belly up to a bar with a bourbon watching Bobby pour more touchdowns.
Ric Flair?
Yeah, and later met a really old dude in a suit who became my best friend.
It Ric Flair, really?
No, it was not Ric Flair. It was just some really old guy. Someone brought up that he looked like the priest at Poltergeist. So I thought that was funny. But immediately I'm like, this dude walks in his age, that white suit, and the tin roof, which I say I'm too old for. This guy's like 65. I'm like, that's my best friend. So I hung out with him, I bought him a drink. We talked. He was hilarious. And we watched this Virginia Tech take down Ohio State. So it was a great needed win for ACC because you already saw some of the crap starting in the media. Now that the Big East gone, who is the low-lying fruit we're going to make try to pick on?
Who's the new one? And it's got to be because Louisville's in it, I guess. I don't know.
It has to follow us. So it was good to see that happen.
No respect.
Well,
Ohio State doesn't have their quarterback. The ACC only has the defending national champions
right
in their conference.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the league cannot get any respect. It's not the SEC, but it doesn't need to be.
Right.
You know, it only needs to have.
I think
this
ACC
top seed
can be number two. With the programs that are in there, if they commit and do it, they can be number two. Now, if Charlie gets Texas right, that will make Big 12 a really hard number two to kick off.
They are.
Big 10
I like
is literally straight from the 80s still.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they're way back.
I don't know why
they
get hoisted.
Is the fifth Power Five. As much as people in the media want to place the ACC as the fifth.
Or at least based on bowl wins, they are.
It's not even close,
you know,
at all. The Big Ten has been terrible for a long time. I did not believe Michigan State would go out and beat Oregon at all. And they had a game there for a while, but then Oregon just broke the mold. And it was just like destroyed them.
They broke the bank with all their facilities from Mr. Nike guy.
Yeah. And that's something that Louisville really needs to do. They need to take a page from Oregon and Texas A&M. Because they're going to redo the Howard Schnellenberg complex. It's
all
going to be
is
expanded
a billionaire
and renovated.
All I need is a billionaire buddy.
Louisville just got a huge amount of money to join the ACC in the television deal.
But I know people say that, but so did everyone else. So to keep up with the Joneses.
Well, no, I mean, Louisville, that's new money that they didn't have before.
I know, but so did everyone else who went through realignment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
renegotiated contracts that have been happening the last couple years.
Yeah, sure.
Everyone got a huge infusion of cash. And now we have to, before we spend it, we have to see how people are spending it because we don't want to go spending in one direction and then they spend it in a direction that pulls in all the recruits.
Sure.
And then be like, oh, we're out of cash.
Well, I encourage you and everyone to go online and look at the football locker rooms and facilities that Oregon and Texas A&M have. And there's no secret why these programs are where they are and the coolness factor and getting these great recruits. And Louisville's facilities are still excellent.
Yeah.
But you don't wait till your facilities are completely eroded, Kentucky, to, you know, start planning to, you know, freshen up, to get back to a respectable position, but you're still a decade behind all your competition.
Right.
You have to go to the cutting edge all the time. Now, Louisville's going to expand Howard Schnellenberger's football complex there at Papa John's, and they're probably going to expand Papa John's Cardinal Stadium as well. Why not completely blow it out? Make this facility the best facility in the country. There are other things they could do to that press box. There are things that they could do to the stadium to make it that wouldn't cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
That would really improve it.
Yeah, they think of ways, you know, that are great for the fans, ways, revenue streams, things like that are good investments of money. But ultimately, a great investment is getting the best players.
Getting the best players.
Because the more you win, the more everyone wants to be there. Get and just the best everything players, is better.
Have the best coaches.
Yep.
Have the best facilities. And that's what Louisville has right now across the board. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the entire athletic department has done so well across the board. There's some areas where they need to pick up. Field hockey, women's soccer, tennis. You know, those programs haven't competed for conference championships like some of the other programs have, but they're getting the same support.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, so not everything happens at the same time, and that's okay.
And the ACC is so good in Olympic sports, it'll just naturally get better because Tom Jurich will not have that on his watch.
He's not going to have last place teams, I mean, you know, or middle of the pack teams. He wants to compete for conference championships.
All right, we got way off track, but we're going to rail back in. Who is going to be the surprise player of the game for Louisville? Who do you think is going to be? With what Virginia brings to the table, who's going to be Louisville's X factor in the Virginia game? And you can give me an offense and defense if you.
Yeah, I think offensively, I just immediately go to your backs and your slot guys. So because I think they're just going to be so involved with the quick passing game that Louisville's going to need to have. So I'm thinking right away, Eli Rogers. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Michael Dyer, Dominic Brown, Gerald Christian. Those are my four guys that I really think are going to be key to this game because
they're going to be the workhorses.
With the pressure that Virginia's going to bring, Will Gardner's got to get that ball out of his hand fast. I don't really see him going to the outside as much with like Michael Lee Harris and James Quick. I would love it if James Quick could get more involved in the passing game. Because if he could do something on the outside, if the offensive line could give Gardner some time to hit on a deep ball to Quick or Michael Lee,
he's faster than George Stripling.
That's going to be huge. On defense, I think the whole defense is about to go off because this is a bad offense. They're going to be very run-oriented. They don't have a quarterback. They have not settled on one.
And Louisville proved against Duke Johnson they're not afraid of the run.
Yep, and I think that they're really, really going to go off in this game. I said it would be 24-13. It could easily be a shutout, but Virginia does have very good special teams. They have an explosive kick returner and Jennings. Jennings is a big-time open space guy. So
and they're
throw a screen to
certainly
him,
at home. And
yeah, we saw what Murray State did. They hit him on a screen and then it missed one tackle and gone. Yeah. Virginia may try to duplicate that type of thing because he's an explosive player in space. But Coley for Miami was not able, and he's the most explosive player Louisville's played, and they held him to 3 catches and 9 yards. So they're certainly capable of wrapping things up. But I think this defense is about to go off in this game. So,
all right, well, that'll wrap it up for this week's Game of the Week. Let's move to some program recruiting updates.
Program update.
Okay, we're joking around calling this Red September because ever since it turned September, it has been awesome around the University of Louisville campus from the Miami win. Certainly the Murray State win, but all these recruits that are falling from the sky, it is raining men and women.
Men and women, and I think the biggest one potentially would be that Asia Durr. Number one player in the country. Jeff Walls landed her ambidextrous point guard from Atlanta. Played on Team USA from St. Pius X. She is a program changer, and he just got a huge post player. The following week,
6'4".
Yeah. 6 foot
like
four.
He's never had
top five
that
post
kind
player.
Of height.
And he's
on
never.
This team.
That's what he's always lost. I mean, it's what he's always lacked is that big post presence that can rebound, block shots, score in the post. Because Jeff Walls has always had great guards and forwards. Always.
Yeah.
This team, this program, with those two additions and
all
what
the
he's
McDonald's
got coming
Americans
in,
that he got on this last class.
This team is poised to make a run for a national championship, not national runner-up,
right?
But national championship.
Punch Gino Auriemma directly into the pants,
and I'm excited about it. And I think that the Louisville fans, if you haven't been paying attention, you don't realize that's huge. I mean, Jeff Walls really and truly has done a magnificent job coaching at UofL, but right now the recruiting that he has got going on is unprecedented for the school, and it's just super super exciting.
It already includes a five-star guard, right? The 2015 class includes five-star recruits Brianna Jones, 5'9" guard from North Babylon, New York, rated 14th overall, and Taja Cole, 5'7" guard from Virginia, and recent commitment from 6'4" post player Aaron DeGreat of Texas. She's a 4-star, so that we're talking 5-star, 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 4-star.
It's ridiculous.
And a lot of McDonald's All-Americans the year before. So I'm happy for Jeff because he's fun, he's funny, he works really hard.
Extremely
You can
hard.
Tell that the players really like him. You know, like he's a player's coach. And he represents the school. Hell, he bought everyone a beer at the Yum Stadium.
He's done that.
Come on down and buy you a beer.
I've never bought that many people beers.
This is something where if he gets it on the right side of Geno, you know, just this one time, that it could be Jeff Wall's kingdom for a long time.
He could turn this corner quick.
Because all the personality and the talent and the pros. You know, I mean, this girl's from Atlanta. You know she saw Angel McCautry and she watched Shoney get MVP.
Absolutely.
You know, of the All-Star game.
That's helping.
This could literally, he could be the new Pat Summitt.
And another thing that's helping is his affiliation with Team USA.
A boy, Pat Summitt.
Yeah, his affiliation with Team USA is allowing him access to coach these players and to get to know them and to get into the international game. And that's just another level. Geno Auriemma is the king of women's college basketball, but he respects Jeff Walls a lot. I mean, he makes a point when he's in Louisville to be extremely respectful to the program. Him and his assistants came out for Louisville senior night and watched the processional.
Yep. Complimentary of the Ho-Chunk tribe's representation for when Shoney came out.
Absolutely. I mean, very, very good. But he respects Jeff Walls because he knows that he's the future of women's college basketball, and he wants to support that. I know that I don't know how much longer Geno has, but it's going to be fun to watch with Jeff Walls on even footing.
It's almost like they're not coach mentor. They're not
no.
They're you know because Walls is from Maryland, but it's almost like the wooden crumb thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, because you got the old guy that's won all the titles. You got the younger guy who's trying to win his first title.
Yep.
They keep running into each other, and then we're waiting for Waltz to get over that hurdle, and maybe he's got an opportunity in the next year or two to do that.
And the ACC as a conference is still extremely difficult, like the Big East and AAC was before. But I think getting away from UConn is going to be extremely good for Louisville women's basketball because there's not going to be that huge juggernaut that in their head, you know, all the time, beat them up 3-4 times a year. And by the time you get to the NCAA tournament, it's, gosh, you know, yeah, we're going to do all this, but we're going to run into UConn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Louisville's had some landmark wins. They've beaten Baylor, but you can beat Baylor once.
Yeah.
Right? And you can beat UConn once. They just haven't gotten over that hurdle yet. And at some point, they will.
All right. So moving from women's basketball to men's basketball, we could not be more excited than the 5-star commitment of Antonio Blakeney.
I mean, yeah. I mean, this recruiting class Rick Pitino's put together, you know, from Raymond Spalding,
Dang Adele.
Donovan Mitchell.
All these guys are crazy. Well, they're all rated 5-star on at least one.
But
I think Antonio is the only unanimous.
I think the key thing is that Louisville got everybody that they wanted.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they settled and went back to plan B for anybody. They literally got plan A every single step of the way. And now they're done. And it's September.
I did hear Dozier.
I've heard Dozier too.
I can't say who told me just because I think he doesn't want his name out there on this stuff. He doesn't want to get in trouble that he's sharing information. But Dozier was trying also to commit and come with this class, and there's just no spot.
You know, if you
we're
have a
really
player,
young team now,
if you have a player like Perry Dozier that wants to commit but can't, I think that the staff will end up having to find a spot.
Many guys in the 16 class that are looking at Louisville, including who visited in red September, Abdul, I think, Adu.
Yeah, Adu.
And he is from...
You're going to know this better than I will, Nigeria, man. This is your wheelhouse.
I'm sorry. I think he's from Lagos, Nigeria. I could be wrong. I'm sorry. I don't have anything in front of me right now. But he's a 6'11", considered the top shot blocker in 2016, who was inspired the whole summer watching FIBA Gorgui Jang. And as Gorgui Jang's inspired a whole city here, you know, how could you not? He was with Coach Johnson at the Louisville Murray State game.
Yeah.
And I am, you know, he's got other people on his list, including Memphis, who's got a lot of talent. But I think he knows that Rick's a Hall of Fame coach. I think he knows the Yum Center looks a little bit better than their pyramid. I think he knows that the
FedEx Forum
ACC is better than
the AAC.
Than whatever.
Yeah.
And then in the end, it'll really just depend on how many big guys are here, because we've got all these. We've got, I don't know, how many guys that are 6'9 or taller?
A bunch of them. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in 2 years, because you got a lot of time in between there. Then and now, players get hurt. They move out. They fail out academically. They don't mesh well with the system. You know, you don't know. There's a lot of things that can happen. But it's just exciting to see Rick Pitino, who's won a national championship with, you know, not top flight recruiting classes, but, you know, really, really good recruiting classes.
We've all said, what would Pitino do with Calipari talent?
Yeah, and I don't even know if this is Calipari talent, to be honest with you.
It's still a little lower. It is, because, like, for instance, Blakeney is listed as 6'3".
Yeah.
A shooting guard for Kentucky is still going to meet 6'5". All your NBA measurements, because they're going to be handed down by Nike, and it's going to be a 6'5 or 6'6 shooting guard. So, but I think he's just really respected. And it is – well, my wife said it the other day. She's like, I think that's great, but I kind of like getting the Russ Smiths you cheer on, and then they get better, and then they're just as good as all of them, and you just have more of a heartfelt commitment to the person.
I just think, because, you know, we've talked to a couple of these guys, and I think if you – when you pay attention to who they appear to be, and it's early – We'll learn a lot about them, but like the Terry Rozier's of the world, the attitude, the willingness to learn
team first, absorb basketball, humble.
Exactly. Team first. If the team wins, I'm gonna win. And I think that that's really what's re-energized Pitino's career more than anything, is his willingness to go and find the best player, best person combination, and. He's one like that, and, you know, Louisville's really well positioned for this year. I'm not even necessarily even all that concerned about the recruiting class that's coming in for next year. I'm concerned about this team that we have here on campus now, and I'm excited about that today, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun, because we have enough top shelf talent to compete with anybody right out of the gate.
Yep.
And we've got so many new guys. It'll be fun to see which ones sprout up at tournament time to become a really reliable role player, because you just never know with freshmen. They're usually bad at defense.
Sometimes.
And then Rick Pitino's system's kind of complicated, so they kind of look lost out there. It's not an easy transition than Calipari just saying, you know, roll it out and just run pickup ball kind of thing. I know Calipari's or offense is a little more complicated than that, but not much. So there are things there schematically, and that is the reason why Rick Pitino can go up against Calipari and his 9 pros and be winning for 39 minutes of the game, and then UK can be happy that they won because they hit a buzzer shot from 25 feet. Not a buzzer, but final minute. I mean, that's what it takes. Schematically, Rick Pitino with this kind of talent is look the hell out of the way.
I'm very – it's going to be scary. And you get the class that they just brought in, get them a year of seasoning, get the class that's coming in behind them, mix in some veterans. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's just crazy because we got so many good players at every position, because Shaquan Aaron was a 5-star. You know, he's coming in right now.
Is he going to start over Wayne? Chinalnu's
a 4-star, and they're like, look out for this guy.
I know. I mean, and let me tell you, Chinalnu did not impress me at the Derby Festival Classic, and Rick Pitino acknowledged that and said, you will not believe of the player that he's become since that time.
Yeah.
So I'm
Quinn
interested
Snyder,
to see what that
hometown
looks like.
Hero, all Quinn, about it.
Quinn's going to be the man. He's going to be a big-time favorite. And I love that Raymond Spalding is in this class, too, because another local kid.
We have so many new players, if you count this class right now, that if you asked me to name them all, I guarantee I'd forget one of them. The one I forgot would be like a 4-star player.
Yeah. You might forget like an Anton Gill, who's going to play a lot this year. You might forget a Matt Stockman, who probably redshirt, and we'll see what his future is. I'm interested to see him play because, you know, you got to learn about these guys.
But with that, bumps on the head. Don't forget, folks, they are young. There's a lot of young kids, so we also have to understand there's going to be a tougher schedule with young kids. There's going to be more losses in the AAC with all seniors, all senior studs.
I don't know. I like this team. I like this team a lot.
I know.
Coming in.
But
you
I'm
know,
just, with, believe me,
Chris,
you.
Terry Wayne.
You believe me,
Trez,
you. Duke is going to be really good. North Carolina just beat the pants
off. Well,
they're
going to lose games. It's college Kentucky's basketball. Nobody's
very good.
Going 40-0.
I know. I'm just saying. We're gonna have some moments where we're just going to have to say we're not as veteran as we used to be. And we just have to understand some people need to kind of catch up. And they will. That's the good news. They're very talented kids, and there's no better coach than Rick. All right, moving from men's basketball now to men's football.
Football, back to football.
Conversely to the women's football, which the program has failed to begin.
The women's football program definitely has yet to begin, but if they did do it, Tom Jurich would find the best women's football ever, and the program would be awesome. But
Amonte, is that his name?
Amonte Cabin.
And this guy is what was the movie? Cabin in the Woods, the horror movie? He's going to be scaring the hell out of people at the linebacker spot. 6'1", 216, Smiths, Alabama, 4-star by many sites, 3-star by others. Picked Louisville over.
He picked Louisville over Auburn, Clemson, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Tennessee.
No big deal.
And we have some highlights on thecrunchzone.com if you want to scroll down and find them. Huge plays, bigger linebacker than you expect, very fast. He joined this week Paul Harris, who's from Iowa Western.
Top JUCO wide receiver.
Transferred to Iowa Western from Tennessee.
Was a 4-star recruit out of high school when he went to Tennessee.
Yep, and this is the 18th and 19th commitment for Bobby Petrino.
Oh, don't you.
I almost did it.
Even say that.
I was thinking BYU.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Anyway, yeah, so 18th and 19th commitment for the 2015 class that will get signed in February. There are quite a few scholarships available in this class.
Because I'm wondering, because you know we have those 6 transfers, and they have to count towards this group, right?
They will, but you're going to have.
So we're a 24. You
lost Teddy and Calvin to the NFL draft that would have been in this class. So their scholarships are available, and then you also have this entire senior
class. So it's not
class.
A class total. It is a team total.
It's a team total of scholarships, and so you.
I thought there was like an any one year rule too.
So there's 25 that you can sign. But everybody signs on gray shirts and enrolls early and then enrolls late and brings guys in and puts them on scholarship for fall camp.
And Louisville's got 3. I know Trevon Samuel, that superstar stud running back that Bobby Petrino just cannot wait to get his hands on. Not like that. I know that he's going to be enrolling early, I hear.
I think that there's going to be at least 3 that come in and enroll early. But, yeah, these transfers do have to count.
Yeah.
And they're big-time transfers. I mean, the transfers that Louisville has coming in that are already practicing with the team.
Highest-rated recruits probably on the class. Harvey Clemens was a 5-star out of high school, right?
Who?
From Georgia.
Who are we talking about?
Josh Harvey Clemens.
Yes. And Jaquay Williams and Shaq Wiggins. So I mean,
Texas
Harvey
A&M,
Clemens and
Missouri.
Wiggins started for Georgia's defense last year.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's exciting. You know, you get 2 SEC starters and to come in and wait a year and then start for Louisville and Todd Grantham. And you already see what Todd Grantham's doing on the field right now for the University of Louisville. It's big time football. This defense is for real.
So ever since it hit September, as you can see, and I'm going to throw in Lamar Jackson, although he was just right on the heels at the end of August.
I count Lamar Jackson, too.
He is a 4-star quarterback, best quarterback in Miami. Kind of curious that we took him because we have 11 quarterbacks already, and we've got Kane Pass commitment, who his brother is the number one quarterback of life.
Yeah.
And if he were wanting to come play with his brother, I would imagine we'd probably tell Lamar Jackson.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. You can't – because Pass is going to be the biggest quarterback commit or recruit in the 2016 class. I think you could just go ahead and put that up on the wall. He's going to be the most highly sought after.
He probably has
player.
To take him if he commits.
Has to. And you then, can't pass
and
on
then
him.
And then you have to tell Lamar.
You also – can go all in.
Because we're happy with Reggie.
Right. You can go you can literally go all in on Pass and not recruit another quarterback if you take Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson and Reggie Bonifant together will be adequate enough for you to go in and compete for the ACC. The difference is and the reason why there won't be this many quarterbacks on the roster next year. Tyler Brugman's not on scholarship. You know, I think Kyle Bolin and Brett Nelson we'll be done at Louisville after this season. And, you know, there's a bunch of walk-ons that might come. But, you know, Tyler Ferguson, Will Gardner, Reggie Bonifant, that's the quarterback position that you're really prepping yourself for in 2015. With Lamar Jackson as a redshirt learning candidate backup in case Juwan Pass passes on the University of Louisville. But I think he joins his brother, Kane.
At Louisville?
At Louisville. I really think he will.
Oh, my God. That would be so awesome. If that happened, and I don't know how to say it, I make videos to express, like, you know, my emotion comes out in a video. I don't, you know, sometimes I can say it in words. I can't write like you can write, so I can't write it. I will just say if Pass, the best quarterback in the history of the world, were to commit to Louisville, that would make me happy.
Yeah, I
think that would be the word I would choose.
Happy? He would be happy. You would be happy. Good. I'm glad that you
I'd
would
be pleasantly happy. Surprised. And happy.
Well, right now his favorites are Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Louisville.
Yep.
So if you think about it, Louisville is the closest place to home, and it also has what?
His brother.
His brother, who's played with his entire life. And also,
they can run this show on both sides of the ball.
And also, by the way, has Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, right.
And so, what, you know, yeah. You want to go to Urban Meyer? I mean, yeah, he's
guaranteed
done well.
EA Sports cheat code coach.
Yeah. I mean, what place do you want to go to become an NFL quarterback? And that's really the question. Urban Meyer, can he do it? Absolutely. Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, can he do it? Absolutely. Which school do you have the best chance to do that in? And that's really the question. I don't believe it's in the Big Ten. I think it could be at Notre Dame. And I think if you take Louisville and Notre Dame, line them up together, Louisville's
well,
his brother.
The one thing I will give Notre Dame and what I will give the Big Ten and Ohio State, and I don't think the Big Ten really deserves it. Ohio State, I think, is a good football program.
They are.
But is just tons of exposure. But it's a kid who probably doesn't need the exposure anyway. But they do have that over Louisville. Louisville, although we are miles down the road from Lexington, miles down the road from as a program as we were back in the day, we still do not carry that national presence quite like an Ohio State or a Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Although
not yet.
We will absolutely line up on the field with them and have plenty of opportunities to beat them. You know, it's just unfortunately we're not quite there yet, and that's the one thing that I think they have on Louisville.
Well, and one of the things that Louisville has on that is that despite being in the AAC last year, they still put 3 number one picks into the NFL.
Right.
And one of them being a quarterback, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater, who is probably the most talked about quarterback going into the NFL draft prior to the season, during the season, and then after the season, draft eligible quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater.
And to be honest, I'm sure probably some people, Louisville fans certainly were, but outside there, I think a lot of people were probably irritated with the treatment of Teddy Bridgewater going into the draft. And I'm not going to throw the race card, this Johnny Manziel versus Teddy Bridgewater, as far as they both were treated, but they were both treated very differently.
They were.
And Teddy Bridgewater, I think, has done nothing but prove himself. As we all know, professional, hardworking, all that. So I think that might have irritated a lot of people who might want to come in and show their stuff here at the University of Louisville.
You know, I think there could really be some truth to that because, you know, Johnny Manziel is this big, huge personality, Johnny Football, and more of an entertainment factor for a lot of these television people and, you know, blogs, and he gets more clicks. And we've only written a handful of stories about Johnny Manziel, and we see the traffic that comes in on the website.
Oh, yeah.
We've written millions of stories on Teddy Bridgewater, and we see the traffic that comes in on the website. So some of that is ratings. You know, some of it is that and the fact
I'm sorry, I should have touched on this a little bit. It isn't just – I'm not just saying, could there have been a race card involved?
I don't think there could have been,
But what I was saying is I think that picked Teddy Bridgewater up, a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Everyone knew about Teddy. Everyone thought he was a great kid. But then everyone started getting into his corner. And then every time you're in his corner, he's wearing that Louisville helmet. I think there is just a cognitive association, whether you like it or not, with towards the Louisville program and Teddy in that situation. And hopefully it's paying some dividends, maybe with Juwan Pass.
Yeah, and I think Teddy's personality.
That's a stretch. That's a huge stretch I just threw out there.
But Teddy's personality is also very sanitary, right? He always does the right thing. He always says the right thing. He doesn't really give you a lot in the media. He doesn't go out at night. He's very reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And he is somebody that if people aren't excited about his personality and they're looking at two people's games when they like Johnny Manziel and his outrageous personality, or Johnny Manziel gets more people to talk about him than Teddy because of the things that he does off the field. Well, now Johnny Manziel is more in the casual fans' brain.
Yeah.
And so this happened, and I don't know why, but Minnesota is so excited for Teddy Bridgewater.
It was dirty what happened to Teddy during the whole process going in.
The Minnesota Vikings are the benefactors, and they beat the Rams.
And so are the Louisville fans. Can you imagine if we had to watch the Cleveland Browns?
Yes.
To cheer on
Teddy. I'm super excited. I'm not buying Browns gear.
He would have made more money, and true, that's a factor. But we don't make that kind of money, so we don't really factor that in our personal lives. But watching the Browns, we'd have to factor that into our personal lives, and that would have been very difficult. And also, it's in a situation where, you know, Castle's played some football, so he Teddy might take his job during the year, possible.
If not, he
can totally sit back and watch mistakes Castle makes and other quarterbacks make from the birds, their catbird seat, and just be more prepared when he hits the field. And that's what you want. You want Teddy to have a long career, being prepared, ready to go, and you know he studies like anybody, or nobody, I should say. So being in a situation where he's not rushed out there, I'm okay with that.
And at some point, the Vikings will need Teddy Bridgewater. Castle has sort of a history of injury, and there will be a game where Castle can't go because he's got a wrist thing or an ankle thing or something like that.
Teddy needs a week off, and Teddy's going to come in.
I bet you he wins the hearts and minds of the Minnesota Vikings. And
he did.
I don't know.
He did for a whole stadium full of preseason fans.
And I don't know if they're a playoff team at all, but I know they have Adrian Peterson, who's the best running back.
Yeah.
In football, and we'll see how they play because they have a tough early schedule. And I think it's one of the reasons why Minnesota isn't going with Teddy right out of the box.
They got a good line. I think they have a good offensive line, which is another thing that we would want for Teddy to kind of get off on the right footing. Tangent again, but that's okay because we're talking about Louisville sports. We hope you enjoyed listening to Louisville sports. That is going to wrap up our podcast for this week. So we've talked about University of Virginia. We talked about all the recruits. We're going to have some more games coming up. Mark will be in Virginia bringing the camera. Stassberg heading down with them. They're going to have all the coverage. If they win, I'll kick out a little video. Won't be kind of to the level of Miami, but we're going to respect.
It'll be fun.
If we can win, we will respect that and enjoy that first ACC road win. First ever, when our kids one day will say, "Dad, do you remember the first road game ever?" They'll never ask that question, but if they were to ask that question, we would say, "Yes, we do."
Yes, I was there. Son,
and in Mark's case, he was there. So if anything else, try to see if you can get in the Cavalier outfit.
Yeah, if they'll let me into the Who outfit, I'll do it for sure.
Make sure the other guy is out of the outfit.
Don't get in with him.
It's not a sleeping bag.
These are good instructions. Let me write that down.
And then have Stassberg film it somehow. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of the Crunch Zone Podcast. Don't forget, you can check us out on Louisville.am, our partner. You can check us out on Stitcher Radio, because that's cool for you techies. And you can also check us out on TheCrunchZone.com, because that's our website. And you can check us out on iTunes. You can set it up for immediate download. You don't even have to look for it. So
plug it in, listen to your car, and you know you can hear Mike's beautiful voice on your way to work.
You are welcome, everybody. So that is all we got for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week, hopefully talking about our first road win. It's the Crunch Zone Podcast. Mark, anything to close with?
Go Cards.